This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flav, tell them about your dream.
I've not recommended anyone that does anything, right? But if you...
I'll tell you what, I'll cut it out of the main pod. You can just tell the patrons. All right.
Yeah, okay. They can decide whether or not it stays in. I take these supplements, magnesium, so it's good for your body. It's like a supplement, vitamins, essentially, right? But one of the side effects of them is that they help you sleep, but they also give you intense dreams, like almost lucid dreams. So if you enjoy dreaming, as I do, and I have mental dreams, I can't remember half the shit I got up to last night.
That's interesting. You enjoy dreaming.
I enjoy dreaming. Some people don't. Like,
yeah.
I spoke to my mate, and he said, why do you want to do it? Sure, you want to go to bed to rest. But I go to bed, and it's like, I'm going to lead a new life for a night.
Right. It's an adventure. I'd rather leave it. If someone said you could have dreams every night or not, I'd go, I'll leave it.
I feel rested.
That's good.
Yeah. Anyway, the one part of this dream was at a festival, but we had these kids that I didn't know there. They were like friends of my kids, but they weren't my kids.
Mm.
And we were just doing ease together.
Yeah.
They were like 6 years old.
Wow.
Seven.
Were they all right?
No, one was going, I don't feel good. And I was like, oh, shit.
That'd be there.
You know, don't tell your mum.
Yeah.
Ride it out.
That's hilarious. This is an early morning pod, so you'll hear that in my voice. I've also got a cough anyway, so it doesn't matter. So I haven't showered. I think that's important to say. Flav, I think, has. He's going to be out and about today, but we had to do an early one. So this is going to go out on a Wednesday, Flav. So this is an early pod. But we are live still somehow to 37 of our gorgeous moist slugs. And if you'd like to become a moist slug, you can do so. There's a link in the description. Costs you £4, I think. $4. And you can join us and be
don't
live.
Don't worry about how much it costs. Just do it.
Money, yeah. Money's just...
quite tight at the moment.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, actually, maybe we should be pushing it. But for those who are, thank you for continuing to support us. How was your weekend, mate?
I mean, footballing wise,
shall I get up the Premier League table from the relegation zone?
Could do.
Flying up.
Is that? I don't know. Let's have a look.
Ooh, that isn't that beautifully poised?
Is that good? Is it? Looks good.
Good, but is it good? It's good, but is it early? That's the problem.
Can you share your screen?
Yep. Sure. It looks pretty good. Though. I mean, Tottenham, Arsenal, Bournemouth, all the big hitters.
I'm not going to bang on about Spurs because obviously people can go and listen to my podcast to hear me do that. I take your point about it being like an anti-Arsenal pro-Spurs podcast merely because I'm here. Not that I won't have... I can't help myself, but I'll do my best.
But that's not your job. Your job is to be you, Flav, okay? I want you to be authentic.
I want you to be excited.
My job is to address the balance. And that's why I'm getting behind my Gunners this year.
Stop! Don't please stop doing that. It may Don't say my Gunners either. My Gunners.
Someone
Arsenal
said
fans don't even say my Gunners.
Someone said in the chat, James should call it my Gunners for the rest of the season. my sweet, sweet Gunners.
No, so it's all well and good, James, right now, but I won't be able to take this as a joke if they
turns.
Go above us.
Yeah.
If it's genuinely, I won't be able to take this as a joke and I won't do the podcast. There you go.
Okay. Well, there let's cross that bridge when we come to it.
Okay. I mean, it was Kulusevski's amazing. The thing is, and it's the same for everybody else at this start of the season. We talked about it on the podcast last week. This is the bit where you can enjoy it. You can look forward to the season and you don't know what's going to happen, but you can be as optimistic as your signings and your managers allow you to be. Our transfer window and our manager allows us to be very excited, but you don't know until you know.
Mm. Yeah, of course. 12 minutes into the joy of it all.
12 minutes into the game, we're 1-0 down. Ward-Prowse,
yeah,
sort of saucy volley,
wasn't it?
That was lovely. But
were you good or were they terrible?
I'm not doing this again because this is every time you know what you're doing.
Think that's a fair point because I've said Southampton will go down, so I'm just intrigued to know if I'm right. Do you think they'll go down? That's what I'll ask that. Do you think they'll go down?
No, I don't think they'll go down. They did well against a title challenging team.
Yeah, that's fun.
They held their own. It's hard to say at this stage. All I can take from my perspective is that Spurs played well, and we could have had more. And our link up play was great, and it felt like the team. I mean, this is the team that started the league. This is the same team that finished the league last season. Started this one, and there's six players on the bench. That we brought in, he didn't play.
I think that's a really good point, and actually quite a smart thing from Conte. Although I actually noticed that loads of managers, Championship and the Premier League, are sort of sticking with the players that were there last year. Sorry, I got a cough.
They spend a lot of time working on their squads. But
I think from a psychological point of view and feeling valued as an entire squad instead of a starting 11, if you just bomb out players and then bring in the new guy, they don't feel like they've got a chance. Whereas if you go, look, which us, you know, you're still valuable. I listened to his interview, and I love when things are sort of lost in translation a little bit. He probably wouldn't want to totally be as harsh as he was, but he was like, last season the squad was poor. So, okay, throwing daggers at the ex players, a bit harsh.
Well, I don't think he was doing that. And like you say, a lot of what Conte does gets lost in translation because it's why things got jumped. You got jumped on so many times last season. Maybe I'm not the right manager to be here and stuff like that. And you don't realise, you know, in hindsight, because he said it, is that he was playing mind games. He was trying to get into the player's head. Mm. Anyway, the squad was poor last season. If you look at our bench against Norwich, we had four academy prospects who between them had like 6 minutes of first team football. Lucas Moura and Stephen Bervine. That is a poor squad. That's not what we had in the pitch was what we had. If that didn't work, we had nothing.
Yeah, now you got options.
Saying that, he did choose to bomb out Lo Celso and then Ndombele on loan rather than making them work. But you know, so it is a sort of self-made issue. But those players were never going to work at Spurs, and God willing, Lo Celso isn't going to Villarreal, which that's one problem solved, and Ndombele might follow him.
There's such a fine balance between, as a manager, between like going, well, these are my standards and you're going to hit them. And if you ain't, then you're it. And like just being like, not having the gravitas for that to work. Do you know what I mean? It's like somehow the magic of a manager, I find so fascinating of like what percentage of it is just gravitas and stardust and saying it with your chest and how much of it is like actual like footballing genius. Because the way that you're getting set up is a similar way to the way that he's set up other teams.
Yeah.
But you've got players there that all of a sudden Emerson Royale looks like a player and Ben Davies looks like Maldini. It's weird. The stardust is odd. I mean, it is one game and you are joint eighth. I will say that.
But it's not. It isn't that, isn't it? Since he joined, we've scored more goals than anybody else in the league. We've gone from 11th to third. Third best overall performance overall since he came in as well.
That sounds like a Mourinho stat. Was that not? Didn't you use that stat for Mourinho?
There was points where that was true. I'm just saying, up to this point, we've done nothing but improve under Conte. Mm. I think the difference between it is that he has a way of working, and that's not going to work for everybody. And he is unforgiving, and he will not expect accept anything other than you to do things his way. Otherwise, you'll be bombed out. Whereas if Ndombele was under someone like Warnock or Harry Redknapp, I think he would flourish.
I know what you mean. That's
so it's
true.
Different,
different concoctions of stardust.
You that's need like, the right everything in the right place.
Yeah. What's okay, right, guys? What and try and make it funny in the comments. What is the perfect recipe of a manager? That's what we want for next week's podcast. What do you want? Do you want a bit of Neil Warnock where he's taking a backhander? Of course he is, but he's a good lad and he's won promotions in the past and he just lets him play. Do you want Conte as a hard taskmaster? Do you want Arteta with his little brain and heart
if you
and
had
holding
to create
hands?
Like a Frankenstein's monster of the very best Premier League manager. You took one part from each of him. What would you take from Conte? Would it be his tactics? Would it be his?
I think I'd take his ruthlessness. Yeah, his sort of eyes and the fear factor of Conte. I think there's like so. One of the guys said here. Where was it? Archin said. Despite his very open statements, Conte is also the guy that could insult you and you wouldn't realise it until 3 days later. I think there's that.
You're walking down the road and suddenly, hold on, what?
He called me fat. Yeah. I think there's a Fergie-ness about Conte. More so, there's more Fergie. This don't take this the wrong way, but this might be an out of context clip here. So I'll pause so you can cut it for the Twitter account. There's more Fergie in Conte than Fergie in Klopp and Guardiola, in my opinion. I think he. Do you know what I mean? Like there's because actually, like you're saying, if you put Conte in a Huddersfield Town, right, a middling Championship club where you've got to work with what you've got a little bit. It wouldn't work, but he's like some of these elite managers would actually only work as elite managers because they have all the ingredients that they want. And they go, well, no, I'm Antonio Conte. I win titles. Do you want to win a title? It's a standoff. And then they go, okay, well, we'll give you the players. And then all of a sudden he proves it. You can't do that at like Crawley Town. So no. I'm saying, can he do it in a cold Tuesday night in Crawley Town? No,
probably not.
What would you want from Conte? What would you, Joe, if you could make the perfect, you make the perfect Tottenham manager? This might be. You feel free to take this for your own pod. You make the perfect Tottenham manager, but with only ingredients provided by previous Tottenham managers. What would be the five?
Five. Come on.
Yeah, I've got too big of a. Give me a minute, and we'll move on.
An amalgamation of Conte, probably Yol's softness and his warmthness, whereas Conte's someone put a great thing in the chat here. It was Conte's buy-in to the club when he arrives. I've never seen, like, when he arrived at Spurs, and you saw the same at Chelsea, and the way the players talked about him at Inter, he buys in, and that club is his club, and he thinks about nothing else than making that club as successful as possible, right, and as good as possible
until he ruefully leaves. Because they're not spending enough money. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and this is the weird thing about it is, at the moment, and it may be come to a point where we go, well, we can't keep fitting one day. We've brought in seven players. Like, can we not make this work?
Yeah.
And when that happens, it all goes...
That meeting's going to be great when Paratici goes to Levy, like, can you please be in this meeting? He's like, no, it's your job. Fine. Antonio, we can't spend any more. We spent a lot now. That's it.
We have 35 players in this squad. Not all of them can even register. We've got that many players. We cannot buy more players.
Then I leave.
So okay.
I've done everything I can. You've let me down.
You're letting me down.
Yeah. Amazing. It's good. It's good that you started well. I think for the league, it's good that my gun has started well as well. And because I think that is the best story in the Premier League is Tottenham and Arsenal. I'm telling you. Has been for some time.
Yeah, it's, I guess it's an interest. It's interesting outside the that there's this the rivalry and there's this, we're on similar levels, but I still think Spurs are out of reach to Arsenal and the league will end up proving that. But I can only go by what I know right now.
Yeah.
Which I keep saying.
Yeah,
I keep saying because then it gets clipped up. Remember this prick said this, but they don't forget, like I said, we only know what we know right now, which lets me that's say anything I like.
Should start there. Do you start? Yeah, that's true. That's good. Yeah. I like that.
I need to put we need to put that in the middle of it so it can't be clipped up as well.
Lessons of a YouTube creator. Oh no, what would you call yourself? What? Like a
podcaster, I guess.
Yeah.
Content extraordinaire.
Is that a general tip that if you're going to go on these things and you're going to say like big statements, make sure you say before or after, finish off with the full stop of, but we only know what we know right now.
In this instance, for this podcast,
you see that? Did we read the same thing? Archin says, Flav, sexual health author.
I did actually used to write books about sexual health. Anyway.
Do you have any of those books?
No. I mean, say books. I'm talking about pamphlets, not books. Okay. Not like I'm a fucking published author or anything. I can find the PDF online, probably. On this, I think it's important to caveat it because this is our podcast, right? So we don't want to come across as saying anything too crazy because it's pointless. But when you go on to, like, when you do the overlap or things like that, you need... That's your opportunity to get under people's skin.
Yeah, but you know, we'll put it to the comments. There's another new bit. We're getting buffing up the new bits is nice. And by the way, we've got a Big Laugh Award. We've got Samism is back. We've got a Power Move, and we've got some other bits as well. But for you guys who watch football YouTubers or people who are on YouTube talking about football, what advice would you give them as someone who's watching them? Because sometimes we're not the most aware. But I'd be intrigued to know what would be your guidance towards us, as in like what winds you up about what winds us up no you winds you up about us there you go. Bournemouth let us down, mate, with a victory. We're hoping for the 38 draws.
Trimber, fucked it up already.
But don't worry, we can only move forward. We move to a select bunch of Brentford, Fulham, Leicester and Liverpool who all drew. We now look to support those guys in their quest for 38 draws this year. I'm just intrigued to see who will be the last one standing in this draw-a-thon.
Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters, really.
No, exactly. This means more to Liverpool. So, you know, yeah, can you get the draw crown? Yes, you won't win the actual title because you keep drawing games, but you might win the consecutive draw crown. I think
through this season... The real championship, the world Premier League, is who tops the draw list.
Yeah. That's a great shout because anyone could win that.
Anyone could win. It's fair game.
I like that.
Anybody, it's not about money. It is not about money, this. It's not about how good your manager is. It literally has no bearing on anything at all. There is no advantage and disadvantage to winning the draw league. And it's a true, true competition in British football.
I love that. That's great. That gives everyone a chance.
Everyone's got a chance. Who's your favourite? Who's your favourite for a draw league?
It's got to be... my eye went to Wolves. I've got to be honest.
Good shout.
Up there.
I'm interested to see who won.
Who was it last year? Yeah, who won it last year?
Well, you give us another chance.
Guess.
I know who won the draw league last year.
Oh, do you? I mean, look. Okay,
Who do you think?
I would say it was Wolves.
It wasn't Wolves. Wolves nearly relegated. They had 6 draws last season. Very poor effort from Wolves.
If you're watching now, guess now. Don't go and look it up because you're a melt if you do that. Have a bit of fun in your life, for God's sake.
I'm going to let you know in precisely 2 minutes.
Burnley.
I think Burnley had a good
perfect. They had a good run. Did they have a good push for the title?
They had a little push for the title. They did. Champions League places for Burnley.
But didn't win it. Ooh.
I quite fancy Everton for
the draw title.
Draw league.
Yeah.
Title this year.
Finally some silverware. First since 1995. Yeah. I mean, they'd be buzzing with that. Connor Cody signed. You see that? More football chat.
Yeah,
I'm intrigued. Is this a new unwritten rule? Because obviously they hated Benitez. Hated him. Because he's Liverpool. Now, Cody is Liverpool, but he's also one of the most likeable people in the Premier League.
Is he an England international? Is he that good?
I mean, he is an England. Do you know what's amazing? How old do you think he is?
I'd say about...
What would you guess?
29?
Yeah, killed it. Yeah, he's 29. I thought he... I thought it was miles on that. I thought he was like 31, 32. Because he's starting to get... You know when a player gets to a certain age where it's been decided they're slow and Cody's cut, like Rooney, happened to Rooney. Nah, he's gone. He's gone. He's like, Rooney's gone, isn't he? Yeah, but Rooney's like, I'm 28.
Yeah,
legs gone. Legs are gone. That's it. It's almost a power move, but it's got to be, as someone who has always been slow, I'd imagine that's so devastating when you're not fast, but you still got your legs. And people go, no, legs are gone. I'm trying to think whose legs are gone recently. I mean, it's Cody. Cody's the main one, to be honest. He also watched a little interview with him and he was saying how, some players go, look, listen. I always think that's a good way of getting people's attention. Look, listen. And then starts saying his answer to the question. You get pigeonholed. He said, I play for England in the back four. It's a great, great line. But I think the one thing is that Everton don't need another centre-back. They've got lots of centre-backs. Holgate, Godfrey, Tarkowski, Keane, Cody, Mina. That's a lot. They've got another lad, Branthwaite, or whatever his name is. So that's seven centre-backs they've got now by a striker. So they still need to sort that out. But he will be him, Tarkowski, and Godfrey or Mina.
Do you know how many caps he's made?
Pretty good.
For England?
10.
10 is correct.
Wow.
He's not good. He's not a fucking international defender. I mean, I know he is, but we've got our centre backs are pretty shit. And you've got Harry Maguire, who, though he plays well for England, he's just awful against Brighton the other day. Like, he looks like he doesn't know what he's doing out there.
Yeah.
Bumbling around. face just looks so. It's just like he's.
Well, that was the mid-poo. Thing. I mean,
his face like he's mid poo.
Yeah, he's just lost, isn't he? Bless him. Because as we scroll down the league, I did want to talk about Man United. Can we get a title from this, by the way, guys? Can we get a title? If anyone's got any titles, leave them in the chat. What are you saying?
Brighton were the draw league champions last year.
Was it Brighton?
It was Brighton.
With 36 draws.
They can win again.
Hang on, that's not good. There you are. Let's talk Man United. Last bit of football chat, guys. Hang in there. We've got loads of stuff. I refuse. You know, sometimes when people go, they're saying, no, I'm being serious. And you've decided, I'm not having it. It's a wind up.
Yeah.
I'm not buying. No. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. It's fine. But I'd rather do that than believe what you're saying, because this feels like a wind up. Arnautovic to Man United feels like a wind up to me. This is what is going on? And I know it's a cliche, but this is Man United. This is Man United, Manchester United. What on earth is going on there? Do you know what? Do you know who called it first, Flav? In a steamy studio in Vauxhall?
Who?
Not Vauxhall. Is it Vauxhall? Victoria.
Victoria.
Mr. Gareth Flav.
What was it? What did I say?
You said, I remember you saying to Tanvir, shout out to Tanvir, the big dog.
Oh, right, yeah. I know
you were saying that Man United were a shell of a club and they're just a club with a big stadium.
They're an average club with a big stadium now. They're an average team with a big stadium. And it's been that way since Ferguson left, more or less.
They are snookered.
Yeah, the United that everyone grew up with you're never going to get that back. You're never, ever going to get that back. Same as Arsenal, never going to get that Wenger period. That the days of managers becoming institutionalised at a club are over, it seems, because no manager really lasts more than two or three years anywhere.
What about Klopp and Guardiola?
Yeah, but they... Maybe Klopp, actually. But that's what I'm saying, is that if Liverpool have Klopp, you know they're never not going to be in the race. They're never not going to be the team that could be there every season. No one would be surprised if Liverpool are in contention with a quadruple. But the minute Klopp leaves, they return to being a normal football club until they find that that manager that can lead the club, like Wenger did, and like, you know, Abramovich, who wasn't the manager but was the guy who engineered every bit of success at Chelsea, gave the managers what they want. He employed the managers that could utilise the tools that he gave them. I've said this stuff loads of time, but United, you know, they're not. They may well have seasons and managers that can deliver them stuff, but what they grew up with is not what they are right now. And Rabiot and Arnautovic, in a team that is full of ego already, problematic players.
The Rabiot one, at least, you know, it's Juventus. He's a talented player. I know he's got a rap sheet. Arnaut, 33-year-old Arnautovic, who's 34 this year. What the fuck is going on?
You've got Ronaldo right there.
I think they should get rid of Ronaldo as well.
How do you solve that problem?
Just to piss off. I think
you've got to give him all these money. It's a fortune.
But surely there has to be something in your contract where you can't go. Oh, I'd like to leave. Well, no one wants you, mate. And then he goes, well, but I want to leave. Well, give me all my money then. Well, hang on.
That's exactly how it works, isn't it?
Surely it's gross misconduct or something. I think get rid of him. Get rid of him. Do you know what I've noticed as well? Everyone's so scared of saying something bad about Ronaldo. He's embarrassed himself. It's absolutely disgraceful. It's all like everyone's kind of like, well, I don't really want to go harsh on Ronaldo in this. He's behaved like a child. You signed a 2-year deal. Get on with it. Like it's embarrassing.
It's so they would have to pay him £12 million to leave the club.
But
That's why you can't just get rid of him. They're losing £12 million just to solve the problem.
So let's fast forward with the Ronaldo thing. So what happens then? How does this play out? Right. So the problem, of course, here is no one wants him. No one wants him, and he and Man United understandably don't want to pay him off. So is this just as simple as let everyone talk? You get to the end of the window, and then you say to Ronaldo, "See, nobody wants you. Get your head down and play now." But if you do that, you've shown no power or moral fortitude as a club, because you're just letting some 37-year-old, which isn't important, but you're letting a player dictate and behave in that fashion.
Yeah, agreed. 37-year-old man-child, by the way, an absolute embarrassment at the moment. How he's behaving is embarrassing.
Yeah, and so like Arteta with Aubameyang, right, people can say that cost him Champions League, but it was a strong decision, and it was made with the idea of an understanding of hierarchy within that club, the fact that he is the boss and that you have to behave if you want to be at this football club. At Man United, well, you could still get away with this nonsense. I can't believe it's gone on this long.
The problem with Ronaldo is a bigger one than the Aubameyang one, because there was interest in him, and he was. They could negotiate a way for him to leave the club without it costing him any money. They didn't get any fee, did they? I don't think. I think it was a free transfer, if I remember rightly. We had a similar thing with Serge Aurier, we allowed him to leave, mutual agreement, and he was free to go to Villarreal without any hang-ups, and we're not demanding the fee for him. But Ronaldo's a different beast, isn't he? Because he is what he is. But you're right. It's in the long run, it's much better for Ten Hag to be strong in this situation and say that Ronaldo, you cannot. This the club comes first, and the cliche is the club is bigger than the player, because he undoubtedly thinks that he's bigger than the second biggest club in the world, or if not, in some eyes, on some metrics, the biggest club in the world, and he thinks he's bigger than that, and that can't stand.
And the behavior of the club is allowing him to continue to think that. That's my problem with this. To what I find amazing as well is that people. Okay, yes, you want to do well in each season. There's another one after that one. Just so you know, guys, there's after that season, there's another one after that. So go backwards to go forward sometimes. Like, it's so dumb. I cannot get my head around how they've not gone. Look, Fergie used to say, when you make a decision, sometimes you'll always make bad decisions, but I'd rather make a bad one early than a bad one late. Because sometimes you'll be looking and looking and looking for more information to give you the golden bit of info that'll go, oh, okay, this is how we solve it. Just make the decision, get on with it. And that's what Man United are doing so badly, is they're waiting and waiting and waiting. I mean, Ronaldo tried to do the opposite and make the decision early for them, and he's got a reality check, because no one wants him. But even if Ronaldo, even if they go mutual consent, go on then, off you go, and you lose that money. Of any club that's going to lose that money, Man United losing it, it's not the end of the world. Yes, you're stripped back. Yes, you've got less quality, but that calms back the expectations and gives you a cleaner canvas to go forward and pick the players with the profiles that you want to start to look like Arsenal and Tottenham. I just can't believe it. And everyone's going, well, let's not go too harsh on Ronaldo. Ronaldo's behaved terribly in this. Terribly.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, he's created this problem. Mate, this Barcelona stuff fascinates me. I know we'll stop the football stuff in a minute.
Yeah.
But this Barcelona, the fact that they've got these five players, they cannot register because they're in breach currently of the La Liga's rules in spending and buying and you know, and it's come to light, and I won't go into the details of it now because I will butcher it, but it's come to light about how they've sold these rights, their TV rights. It's not quite as simple as them just giving up TV rights. It's really convoluted in what's happening. So, but yeah, they've got Lewandowski, Kessie, who they signed in January as a pre-contract. They can't register him. Rafinha.
They just signed Alonso. They're signing up Alonso.
I'm sure they must have a plan to get around this, but currently, and it's a great news story, isn't it, that Barcelona can't register all these amazing players they've bought.
Yeah.
But they have to... Lewandowski... What's his name? Koundé of...
Jules Koundé, yeah. Yeah.
Koundé of Sevilla. Christensen. And these players, apart from Lewandowski, who's obviously incredible.
Yeah.
But they've got these clutch of players that I don't think really... They're not like...
Not game changers.
No, not really. Like Lewandowski is, and Rafinha is good, but he was playing for Leeds in a team that nearly got relegated last year. So it's weird. It's a whole weird situation. And I think they're pretty abhorrent the way they go about their business, Barcelona. What they're doing to Frankie de Jong and the money they give these players, first off, but what they're doing to him. Not that, you know, there's terrible things happening in the world and in what do you call it? He's a footballer who's got more money than he can spend. But they've asked him to forego his wages or suspend his wages, parts of his wages during the pandemic. And are now saying, you have to leave. Not only that, when you leave, you're not getting the money. When he's helped save the football club, in inverted commas. Just so they can... And at the same time, they're bringing in 8 or 9 players and signing more.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
That's what I mean. It's what I don't understand.
He shouldn't leave. He should stand there. In principle, the right thing for him to do for everybody is stay.
And I'm sure
500 grand a week or what's a mental.
And I'm sure. So Archon says La Liga's lost its magic. Kind of sad. Do you know what, mate? The thing I would say is
they're trying to save it.
They're trying to save it.
They haven't lost its magic. They're trying to save their league.
And this, I'll say this again and again and again. Whenever these things happen with these big teams and it's about money and, oh, they haven't got money, whatever, the league. So stop looking at the top six and look at the others. And actually, are you making it a more competitive league? And that's what La Liga are trying to do. So if La Liga stop them from registering these players because they've leveraged money through these different avenues, which are going to hurt them so badly down the road. And I agree with you. It's so... The thing, again, there's a season after this season. Strip back and then go forward, because Barcelona will always be a huge club, man. You know, will always be a huge club. Look at, say, Rangers and where, the way that they had to do it. They had to go back and start again. If you do it from that point of view, it's a much better story. It looks better. You get the buy-in from the fans. The expectations are on the right level and you don't overreach. What Barcelona are doing here is overreaching by an outrageous amount. For what gain? This is what I don't understand. What's the gain? Like, play the kids. You've got a Barcelona B team there, which is probably amazing. Play them. They'll be in mid-table for one season. Get your house in order and then move forward from there. It's mad.
Does he survive that season when he finishes 10, or are they going to revolt against him, Laporta?
But it's about being transparent. If you know that this is the situation.
Maniac.
And they're used to being huge. It was like, oh, we're big. Well, we need to buy big players. Well, you don't. You don't have to. Wait a season and go, look, there's been a pandemic. It's killed us. We're going to get ourselves sorted out and we'll come back again because we're Barcelona. And everyone goes, yeah. Like, instead of just going, let's go buy Marcus Alonso.
So this, that, I don't know if this is interesting, but this is about them selling their TV rights. So apparently Barcelona, this is according to Footy Accumulators. Twitter account.
Good source.
It seems quite formal. So apparently Barcelona didn't sell their TV rights to Sixth Street. What actually happened was a third company was set up as a joint investment by Barcelona and Sixth Street. Sixth Street's invested 517 million, while Barcelona invested 150 million. While Barcelona received 517 million for selling their TV rights, they declared 667 million as income received from the deal, which includes 150 million they gave to themselves. So what about the 150 million they had to spend? Anyway, it says this money, of course, did not exist. It was merely accounting tricks. Such tricks may not be legal, but La Liga nevertheless has its own rules and regulations and refused to consider this as a proper income for the salary limit calculations. This is why they can't register their new players.
Stay strong, La Liga. Stay strong. Can't take the piss. So,
Marcus said that how can the league allow them to spend this money, but I can't remember exactly what he said. The league is not allowing them to do that. That's the whole point here. That's
why they're holding strong.
Barcelona are struggling right now is because they're not being allowed to do what they want to do.
Do you know what I love about it all in terms of registering players is the fact that, sorry, and this is the last sentence on Football Chat, we will move forward, is so when you, if your accounts and stuff aren't in the right order, right? If you try to register a player, which you do online, digitally, the computer just says no.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, don't argue with me. You get your account sorted. You can register as many players as you want. I love it. I love it so much.
You know the rules. Here are the rules.
No one's bigger than the league. No one's bigger than the club. You've got to have these things. You can't bend around these things time and again. Right, enough football chat. Sorry. Jim Big Laugh Award is back.
Good.
So this now this might get cut out. I'd like the people to vote. Just, you know, should this be going out into the ether? But it did make me laugh. SWJ put a little time code in there. He said 38 minutes into the new season, and Flav has already declared that Martin Tyler. Nice to know that some things haven't changed over the summer. Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is so funny. And again, am I allowed for it to be funny? I might have to cut it out. Sam Hansen, my favourite part was when in the chat someone said 9 kids, he has to go, in response to how many kids before he gets cancelled. 47 likes on that. And McSlash replied underneath, went 10 kids for me. You need to give him more time.
Jesus.
Very good. Slugs in the Wild. No videos this week, which was disappointing, Flav. I was hoping for a bit more.
That was so funny, that video.
That was so good. You know, more slugs in that, yeah?
Yeah, more slugs in that, yeah?
You know, Jeff and James Lawrence Walker, more slugs in that, yeah? What? Do you know what's better? What's best is what's best is filming yourself. I don't want to see the person. Film yourself. I just want to hear them. I want to paint the picture myself. That's what I was good about. So yeah, can you send guys DM me videos of Slugs in the Wild encounters? Denzer wrote in with a little story. He said, I was on a night out a few weeks ago talking to an English fella about football. Brackets, I'm Irish, by the way. I asked him if he knew James. He said he did. So I put up my hand looking for a high five and said, "Ah, oh, so you're a slug then, are you?" He looked at me perplexed and angry and said, "Are you all right, mate?" He must not have liked being called a slug. I guess he didn't talk to me. He didn't talk to me for the rest of the night and avoided me, but we can only move forwards. Tough.
Only forwards, boys.
I mean, I think he obviously doesn't know me then, does he?
No.
He's not a slug.
I think people, there's loads of people watching your channel that don't watch it, you know.
Then
don't.
Yeah. 1 week ban for everyone who doesn't watch this. safe for that. Can't take. Yeah. Oh, this could drift into football chat, but it's here on the running order. The Arsenal spending too much argument falls apart when you think about the state of City, that's Man City, I imagine, and Chelsea's squads versus Arsenal's squad when Arteta took over. The top teams spend every single summer. Can't take.
Well, not true, is it? Because Manchester City, about £100 million in profit, I think, at the moment. Arsenal, there's a difference. No team spends like Arsenal does without recouping money. You know, Man City might have done and Chelsea might have done, and Newcastle can to a certain extent. But you can't compare Arsenal with Man City because it's a different business model. And in fact, Man City are actually running their football club now. They've reached this point in a sensible way. They have to. Arsenal cannot continue to spend 100 million plus every single summer.
But are they now doing the same? Will they now do the same thing as Man City? This whole
undoubtedly they will. They will. They have to. They have to.
That winds me up a little bit, by the way. Not you saying it, but the fact of it that Man City behaving really well now, or Chelsea did it a couple of years ago, or whatever. When you spend 400 million to get to this point where we're just bringing in the players now, and it's all fine. Yeah, I mean, it's all sustainable. It's like, fuck off.
That ship's out.
But it just shows that gap between you've got to spend 270 million to sort of get near to possibly competing. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and they probably haven't, which is the really sad thing.
Sad.
Do you know what I tweeted the other day when I was watching the Man City game? And I was thinking, I'm so bored. And I didn't know why. Like, they weren't playing bad football. I was watching, I wanted to watch Haaland and see how he was. And when he scored, I felt nothing. And I put a tweet out, and a couple of people were quite angry and saying, how can you say this is boring football? And I say, it's not. A couple of people come back to me and said, it isn't that they're playing bad football or it's uninteresting football. It's just, you know, what they've done to get to this point has nothing to do with, really, to do with any sort of competitive element. They've just spent. And so it doesn't really mean much. When I watch Man City, all I think about is the money they spent.
Oh, really? So my problem with it is not that it's not brilliant football. Incredibly high quality football. There's no jeopardy. That's my problem with it. See, at least with Liverpool, they're like, oh, we're off. Ah, we're gonna score some goals. Man City. Yeah,
is that what's going on? That's the sound of Liverpool.
Yeah, that's yeah.
What's the sound of Man City then?
Sound of Man City is this. Man City is this.
Can't hear anything.
Oh, you can't hear it because it's basically it's like
metronomic.
Go.
Yeah. I love that. I love the sound of Liverpool.
Ace of Spades, basically. So I think that's why Man City can be a tough watch at times. That's why Champions League is so much better to watch them because they can't play at that level. Whereas I've done a tactical thing on each team, And West Ham wasting my time, because they didn't touch the ball. So, yeah, I think that's the thing with Man City. Dad chat, a little bit of dad chat. Matt Robson, dad's at the football. So let us know what your dad does at the football and what's funny about it. I don't know if this is a thing you've spotted. I think there could be something in this in terms of dads hate young players or just essentially patronising towards young players. Matt Robson said, and this has got the most likes of any comments, so top comment, what am I? Dad's at football, the age old, he needs to go out on loan when talking about any player under 23. For example, yeah. My dad said Luke Thomas needed to go out on loan after his first bad game after 2 years in the first team. Classic. Kieran Gray agreed. He said, my dad says that about Paul Dummett. He's 30. I said, there's too much of a distance. Do you ever find that weird that we, like I was listening to Talk Sport and it was like the old journalists, and they were talking about obviously different players, and they're like 60 years old talking about 21 and like passing judgment on 21 and 22 year olds. Like obviously, yeah. Like, I'm 36 now, so like, I'm in the same, not the same bracket, but like, it's weird, isn't it, that we just talk about young people? Does that make sense?
Do you think? No, I do, and they'll crucify them as well. Do you think the older you get, the less you understand the game? Not because it changes and shifts, and you'll have preformed ideas about what football is, and it changes. Like, you know, like managers become dinosaurs.
Mm.
Yeah, that happens. Yeah. Fans, the fans become dinosaurs as well.
Yeah, I think they probably do, unless you stay really open to it. But I think it becomes harder.
Like, there is, like we said last week, there's not a dad on this planet that enjoys watching his team play out from the back. Not one.
Yeah, the panic is real.
You cannot be a father and appreciate it.
Yeah,
just is it long? Yeah. Is it long?
Oh, my dad's a nightmare. Like, I've tried to calmly to explain to it. I was like, last year, I was like, look, this is the way that we're playing. So you need to just know that. But there's a reason why we're playing at the back for a while. It's so that we suck out the opposition, so we can then play them with, you know, an incisive pass. But still, like 2 minutes later, he's going every time they pass it from every time the goalie. Here's the one that goes through every dad, right? Here's the part when the centre back split, and there's a forward that comes forward, and the goalie plays it through the centre backs to the defensive midfielder who comes to get it.
It's horrendous. I get it. I understand it. People, I am becoming much calmer with it. Like, it's been so normal. You see it in every game. You're much calmer. And actually, I touch wood, the amount of goals that come from someone fucking it up by passing it out, I can't remember many.
Yeah.
It's probably not as dangerous as you think. And these are elite footballers. You know, the 0.0001% of people that play football on this planet are playing at this level.
Yeah.
So you'd think that they're, you know, and it's proven that it's not really as scary as it seems.
Footballing things that go through you, that's a new bit. Get them in the comments. I think that's definitely one. It's the pass through the centre backs from the goalkeeper. With goalkeepers, especially big goalkeepers. We had it with Joe Lumley, and he'd play that pass, and you go, what are you doing? That's definitely a good one. Do you know what I always say to myself? When I'm nervous about a pass like that, I always go, he's better than me. I try and think, because I'm putting my own anxiety of like, if I got that pass in that position, I would hate it. But like, he's better than me.
That feeling of dread is when the ball turns over and you've overcommitted. And you can see, if you're in the stand, in an upper tier, or if you're watching on telly, you can see you can see the inevitable unfolding.
That's it's so like true. Fall,
and then you're like, oh God. And then you're just like, please, please don't, please don't, please don't, please don't.
Do you know what happens as well? I'll always go, like, you go early to, I'll go early to my dad, I go, we're fucked.
What? After 3 minutes, we're fucked.
No. So it'll be like it happened at the weekend. So we were sort of hanging on. Great win for the Ars, by the way, at the weekend. Mick Beale's first victory. Congratulations, Mick. Anyway, we had the ball down the right-hand side and Kaiko lost it. And then Rob Dickey, our right-sided, our centre-back, had a bad touch and they sort of won the ball. And then they started to break. And I did it then. I went, we're fucked. You can just see, I can just see there's a note. Oh, there's an overlaborer in trouble. It's the same with corners, isn't it? Like, there's a corner sometimes and then they beat the man. You go, we're fucked. This is it. So yeah, things that go through you, let me know in the comments, please. That's it. Ramsdale to Partey. Always makes my heart drop. Yeah, he does. He loves it, Ramsdale. His kicking, he made it. It's amazing. Anyway, my Gunners. Harry Cook, another dad's at football, getting players' names slightly wrong. I'm going to burn him.
Mate, 100%. My dad has never said Kulusevski. He doesn't even attempt it. He does not even.
What does he go with?
Oh, God knows. I'll try and get him to say it and I'll record it.
Yeah, record it. Kulusevski or something. I mean, I'm terrible with names. I struggle with names. Because what happens with me is that I learn the wrong name. Do you know what the name I just can't get right is... I'm still not sure which one's right, but I think it's Tavernier, but I call him Tavernier. And I don't see what the big deal is, but people, like, it goes through people, they hate it.
Tavernier, I mean, that's not his name, is it? Tavernier is his name. That's just a miss. Well, this come out on... I'd been calling... our left-sided centre-back, what's his name?
Davies.
It's not. It's Ben Davies. But Davis.
Is it?
And I was like, what? Of course it isn't. Like, and I had like a barrel, including our very own Louis, who said, yeah, it's Davis. Everybody in Wales calls it Davis. It's not Davies. Davies isn't a name in Wales. It's Davis.
That's floored me.
I know.
Well, is it spelled that way?
No, it's spelled Davies.
Right.
Mental, didn't they? They're all mad over there.
Yeah. There's an E, guys. Guys, there's an E in it.
Yeah. Is an E. Although there are no E's in the Welsh language, are there? It's like this. I don't know. Maybe I'm being super offensive.
Once again, I'm flawed. That's unbelievable.
Can you offend the Wales? I'm not sure.
Louis, let us know if we're going to offend you. You don't pronounce the E, he says.
Oh, is he here?
Yeah, he is. Here's another new bit. Lots of new bits. Disappointingly true. I've called this one. So let us know things that are disappointingly true. How long have you got, by the way, Flav?
Just carry on. I'll just leave when I've had enough.
Okay.
about 15.
Oh, okay. It might take that long. Disappointingly true. So things not football related, but things that are disappointingly true. Let me know in the comments, please. This, because I read this, I laughed. And it is disappointingly true. Donald Crowley, if Jiz Hornkamp, who we were talking about last week, who's linked with Nottingham Forest, if Jiz Hornkamp goes through a period of near misses, strikes off the woodwork and generally being unlucky in front of goal, when he finally scores, I want James to break down the game in a video, opening the video with him saying, it's been coming, with a cheeky grin holding in his giggle. It's just going to happen. It is going to happen. Does that make me a better creator or a worse creator? Better, I'd say.
But yeah, better if anything.
There's a I didn't put it in the video, but I said something about someone coming on, and then I went, I do this joke sometimes where I go, not literally, or like someone has exploded, but not literally, that'd be ridiculous. And I went, that's when he came on, or something like that, about coming, and I went, not literally, and then I literally. We'll have to. I'll show you guys on a mailbag or something. I paused for a second and just hung my head. I'm so embarrassed.
Not on Sky Sports.
I know, that's the problem. I'll quickly finish off the 38 draws because we've got some comments on it. Carl Sleep said, so for those of you who don't know, last week we were talking about Bournemouth and with one of their fans, Tom Jordan, who does the Back of the Net YouTube channel. So if you want some Bournemouth content, that's the one for you. He was saying that he would take 38 draws because it would mean survival. Carl Sleeps agrees. And from 2010 to 2011, 2010-11 was the last time a team would be relegated if they drew every single game. It's a strategy, guys. It's a great strategy. Think about it. Hugh Griffith, he says, I put it to you that if every game you play is a score draw, particularly if you get the odd 3-3 or 4-4, you are one of the most exciting teams in the league. Think about it. There will be epic comebacks, epic collapses, last-minute equalisers. You will have some great away results at Liverpool and Man City. It would be one of the most memorable seasons of all time.
That is fantastic. because you think draws and you think one all, but no, there wouldn't be. It'd be huge draws.
It could be all sorts. Yeah, yeah. It's also a fascinating study in people perception. If you're drawing 0-0 or 1-1, then people will think you're getting the most out of a limited squad by playing risk-averse football. Whereas if you're drawing 3-3, people will think you're an absolute cowboy playing on nothing but vibes. Weirdly, the manager who scores the most goals and plays exciting football but still only draws is more likely to get sacked despite getting the same results as the less goal-scoring manager, absolutely who is far more boring. True.
Yeah, it is all true. Good work.
Yeah, great work. Oh, and finally, you know, you were looking at tables earlier. Someone made a really good comment in the United, because, you know, I get a bit annoyed when people always talk about United or City. You know, there's lots of teams called United, and currently Newcastle United and Leeds United are above Manchester United, so they're not the best United, and thus
Newcastle are currently United.
Top United, yeah.
Yeah, they're United at the moment.
They are United, yeah.
Leeds are Leeds United, and Manchester United are Manchester United.
Well done. Good point. Where are we? And then deal 18, on the draw thing, especially if you're a small club and barely surviving anyway, I think 38 draws would be hilarious. A home fan base would definitely buy in at some point. And the ensuing songs, Invincibles. Invincibles, that's the other thing. You become invincible. Absolutely kills Arsenal, doesn't it? Arsenal fans are going, fucking lose or win. Actually, just lose. Because if you become Invincibles as well, that would be a disaster for them.
That was, you know, like the fans would be kind of like, please don't win. Please don't win. The last couple of games of the season, please don't win. I remember my brother had put a bet on, he put like 50 quid on Spurs to beat Bolton 3-1 in the League Cup. And it was returned about 700 quid or something. Maybe, I think he had first goal scorer. And so it was a big bet.
Mm.
So we went 3-1 up. And it was like, the bet was coming in and we were all cheering, like hugging my brother. And then Spurs went forward again and we were like, no. And because it was a League Cup game, it didn't matter. We were through. We said, don't score. And then we missed. And it was like, yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. That's class. Gambling. Too late to change. We talked about this last week. So, yeah, I'm sort of on that with Xhaka. I think it's too late. But I wasn't impressed with him against Palace. You said you had to change your mind on Harry Kane, didn't you? Had to take a step back. And we'll talk about Rory, won't we? Rory's getting a lot of heat for saying that he's pleased that Timo Werner had left Chelsea. He's been rubbish for Chelsea, hasn't he? Why is he getting so angry? Yeah.
I've had my fair share of heat from Chelsea fans over the last week.
What I'd say to the people, just enjoy Rory. He's delightful. Jack Keane. I was wrong about Trent. The first few times I watched him play, he took what felt like 3 weeks to take every throw in. I thought, this kid hasn't got the mentality. I like that. I like the sort of high opinion that you have to yourself. I presume, Jack, you're not an elite sportsman. This kid hasn't got the mentality, boys. It's taking too long to take a throw in.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I love it, though.
You seem to prove me wrong. Yeah, what highlights poor mentality? Taking too long on a throw on.
Not sprinting back at every opportunity.
Kid's not got it. Danny Cox. The thing I still back and can't go back on is that Werner is a good striker and could score 20 Prem goals at a different team. Would love him at Newcastle. He's not good. He's not a good finisher. That's my
problem with him. But he was. But this is the thing: is how big. This is the thing. It's the Timo Werner conundrum. How big is the gap between Bundesliga and Premier League? And if you go by Timo Werner, it's gigantic.
Mm.
If you go by Haaland, maybe it isn't so big.
Good point. But also, how bad a striker could you be and score 20 goals at Man City? And I'm not doing a thing of could I do it? But could, if you put Charlie Austin in that team, Charlie whose legs have gone.
15. Probably.
Right, he's just gone 10, to Brisbane 15. Roar. I think Charlie Austin would still score 15. He would score 15 goals.
Across all competition.
Yeah, yeah. So
yeah,
there's no excuse for Haaland not to score 20 goals this year. Absolutely no excuse.
No, it's expectation, isn't it? It's not
Although,
expectation.
I mean,
just going out
Chelsea,
there, but
Chelsea are dominant, aren't they? So what's Werner up to?
His finishing has been woeful, isn't it?
I see. I think he couldn't control his legs.
But he's good enough to play in the Prem. It's just,
yeah,
it's just demands at Chelsea are different.
It felt like he struggled with the pressure of it, I'll be honest.
Where's he gone?
Leipzig.
Has gone back?
Hmm.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. To go back.
It needs space in behind as well. I think that's the thing. Specifically with Werner. I don't think he's got that. He's not got that composure. Anyway, football check. Ugh. Samism. This is good. It's not really a Samism, but I liked it from Verity. For anyone who's new to the podcast or the channel, Samism comes from our good friend Sam Peoples from the United Peoples, who's TV, which is a Man United channel, which is far bigger than mine. I could only imagine being as successful as Sam. But Sam does struggle with the odd Samism where he mixes up his...
Well, we all do, as has become clear.
True, but he's one of the best. He's the GOAT.
He was the first. He was the front runner.
Yeah. Honestly, late 2015, I think the second of a video I did at Bullshit, he said something and I went, what's up with this lad? Verity, not really a Samism, but it cracked me up and it made me laugh this. I overheard a lad at the football bragging to his mates and saying with full confidence that he played for 2 years and conceived no goals. And I conceived no goals. That's so good. That's like I heard another person say they haven't got a vocal point. It's focal point.
Yeah.
It's focal point. It's not vocal point. Doesn't make sense. Nor does conceive no goals. Power move. Jack Roberts. We've got an early power move submission. I just wanted to hear your thoughts on this one, Flav. Because I'm not sure if it is or it isn't. When you're at any kind of supermarket or store and you go to pay, the cashier says the amount you owe, only for you to whip out a discount card as if to say, no, it'll be that much. Is that a power move?
What?
So you tell me the price. You're the cashier. You go, 10 quid. And I go, no, it's not. And then give a discount card. Is that a power move?
I mean, why would you want to do a power move on it's got to be the right person, isn't it? It's like your mate or she's just trying to help.
Yeah. She's making a difference.
I don't think you can go down in this instance where someone's serving you that they're the servant, they're subservient to what they need in order to help you. I think it's a bit weird to do a power move on someone who's helping you.
Mm. Yeah, no, Jack. 1 week ban.
Dick move.
Yeah, dick move. Sadly, I mean, there's a question: is it a dick move? Let us know in the comments. Quick unwritten rule: Ryan Maxwell. Nothing you say as a fan has to make sense as long as you believe it makes sense. It's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, that goes for every football conversation.
Mm. And do you remember? We'll finish off with this. Do you remember last week you found some? You said there was a Twitter account with football conspiracies that were just sort of funny. They weren't really... Callum with two L's has provided a list and he wants to provide the platform for a bit. So if you've got any football conspiracies, we'll read them out at the end of next week's podcast. So first of all, he's got QPR, Real Madrid, Stoke and Burnley don't have away kits.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you what
they're
like.
It's true, isn't it? I can't... Yeah.
Do you know what's funny? That the Arsenal, is it away kit or a pink one?
Mm.
When in normal daylight, looks white. Looks like they're wearing white kits.
So everyone's going, oh, it's so lush because it's pink and I'm metrosexual. I'm of the opinion that it just looks like it was a white shirt that you put
gone
with a
wash
with the colours. Yeah, and that just irritates my eyes.
It also looks white when you're wearing it. Like I went up to, I met Robbie and... Like, how did you see it online? Unfortunately, Googled it. It's got me horrible little shirts on my page. But on the screen, it looks sort of pink. Like you say, like a white that's been red through with a red. But when they've got it on, when I bumped into Robbie and he had his on, it looked white. It looked like they were walking around with a white kit on. And that is unbelievable.
It just does look a little... Yeah, it looks a bit... And on with the Crystal Palace game, it looked a little bit dull to me, I'll be honest. Stoke
horrible.
Don't have an away kit, it's true. Real Madrid don't, just white, isn't it, in your head? And QPR, same. Wolves never play promoted teams, apparently. That's amazing, isn't it? I can't remember a game that they played against. Granite Xhaka has never gone a game without at least 11 fouls. That's just a little dig. Brentford and Brighton have never played each other. and that's your lot. He said, I would love to see what the community has to offer. Buzzing. Jaffin is back. We are buzzing as well. And Flav is off to buy some shoes. Exciting times for everyone.
That's not... I mean, that sounds like I'm going off to just... I mean, I am. There's a reason why I need shoes today, and this is the only day I can get them. So I just wanted to put that in.
Yeah, I mean, why being defensive about buying shoes?
I don't know. It's what you say. How long have you got? 15 minutes. Why? To go and buy some shoes?
Oh, no. Yeah, but look, you've got things. It's just, that's life, isn't it? Tim Solo podcast. I mean, I would say that's most of the lives. 47 minutes I spoke my season predictions. Just me. Amazing.
At the end, when you finish those, you go...
Oh, mate, you're broken. Right, guys. If you want to join us for our mailbags, which we haven't got time to do this week, but generally we do them. There's a link in the description. It would be great to get back up to 500. And we can start to plan our nosh party. Happy days. Have a great week. Anything all right. Safe love?
No, just love you all and thanks for listening once again.
That's it. And the hours are going up. See you next week. Bye.
Ta-da. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.